Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Woo!
Amen.
Amen. Sometimes you just got to shake it off, sister. You know that. There you go. Just shake it off. Y'all so quiet in here this morning. I went to a couple of the shows. I was on that little boat, and people in there just yelling and screaming, just having a ball. And we can come to church and sit in here, and you can hear a mouse walk across the floor.
Right.
That don't make good sense to me. Then that's just Ricardo. That's just Ricardo, right? Well, we can't say, praise the Lord, hallelujah. Amen. We can't say that, or can we? Are we? Amen, we can. We should be free in God. Hallelujah. We should get our praise on when we walk in here. I'm tired. I'm wore out. But you know what? God's more important than me being tired. Amen. I think He deserves the praise and the glory every time we set foot in here. Now, I haven't run around this church yet, but it's happening. Somebody told me, and I got a word, that my feet was going to take off, and it's coming. I don't forget these things, amen? Hey, Grant. Are we better now? All right, I'm good then. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's my buddy's all right now, so it's all good. Hey, I'm going to tell you something, guys. Our kids here have such an advantage because mom and dads bring them to church. And the word says that we should bring a child up in the way they should go. And with that being said, what I've learned is raising my own, they taught me just as much as I was trying to teach them. Because before I could teach them, I had to go learn what I was trying to, the message I was trying to get across to them. So, mom and dad, keep doing what you're doing. Keep them in here. I know the Adamsons, and I've watched all your kids grow up. I've watched Emily and Levi and all that bunch. And it amazes me to this day that they can see me somewhere, and here they go. And it's awesome. And it's awesome. So I commend, I'll give praise to God for putting me in a position to be here. What I'm trying to say is, you're not here by default. You're here for a reason. You are right here where you're at for a reason. When you come and visit this place, sometimes it may be different than where you have been accustomed to going, but I can promise you this, you'll get the word. It's not watered down, and it's the truth, and the truth is what sets you free. Because God is God, and God is God. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. Go ahead, guys. I can see the waters raging at my feet. I can feel the breath of those surrounding me. I can hear the sounds of nations rising up. We will not be overtaken. We will not be overcome. I can walk down this dark and painful road. I can face every fear of the unknown. I can hear all God's children singing out. We will not be overtaken. We will not be overcome. The same power that rose Jesus from the grave, the same power that commanded death. Jesus from the grave still lives in our pasture. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Right now, in the name of Jesus, I just thank you for that, Lord God. I just thank you for that. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Thank you, church. Woo. Thank you, Lord.
Up your hands, be lifted up. Tell everyone how great the love. love come down from heaven's gate to kiss the earth with open grace. Sing, who is this King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. Who is this King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. Lift up your hands, be lifted up. Let the redeemed declare the love. And we bow down at heaven's gate to kiss the feet of hope and grace. Sing, who is this King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. Who is this King of glory?
Time to get to the point in my life to where that first I recognized God. It took that long for me, Gail. I run from Christ for years. For years. And I'm going to tell you right now, You're out here doing all this crazy crap. And you think that big hole in your chest has been filled by all the nonsense that you try to put in there to fill it. It don't work. All it does is make the hole bigger. But the day you accept Christ, and you mean that, that hole gets filled with love and compassion and tenderness and respect and loyalty. It gets filled with the amenities that you need to survive in this world. But the main thing is, the blood covers you, and that allows you to go see the King. Amen. Because without the covering of the blood, it's not going to happen. Until people get to the point that their knowledge of the Lord is to where that they really get a hold of what it takes to become a Christian, it scares them. But until they get there, we as a people, we need to continue to support them. We need to continue to support the ones that are in our families after they're lost. I'll say this again. You got to love that person because that's family. It's okay to hate what they do. It's okay to hate what they've been through, because you can sick the Holy Ghost all on that. Amen. We got that authority. Our God is an awesome God, and He's provided all we need to fight evil, to fight the devil. Because you know, it's like that in this world. It's good and bad, light and darkness, however you may want to put that. Going to have his way. He's definitely going to have his way.
Seated above, enthroned in the Father's love. Destined to die, poured out for all. God's only Son, perfect and spotless one. He never sinned, suffered as if He did. All authority, every victory.
Step back up when we are afraid that God won't forgive us of our past. That's a lie. That's just something that the devil throws out there at you to where that he'll keep you in suspense and keep you back here away from Christ. Because God will forgive all that you've done in your past. The blood covers that too. Amen. So I don't... If you're in here this morning and you're fighting something, while I'm singing this, come up here and let's put it out here and let the Lord take that. You know, you can bring it up here and drop it at the foot of the cross and walk off and leave it, and He'll fight that battle for you. Amen. He'll handle that. So if someone up here this morning, in here this morning, that has a demon or has something in their life that they're trying to shake and they can't get let loose, come up here. We can handle that. We'll help that cause. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Start it with that, guys. Here we go, Kenzie.
Seated above, enthroned in the Father's love.
Oh, thank you, Jesus.
Destined to die, poured out for all mankind. God's only Son, perfect and spotless one. Never sinned, but suffered as if He did.
Thank you, Jesus.
All authority, every victory is yours. All overcome. of honor and glory, worthy of all our praise. You overcame. Jesus, awesome in power forever, awesome and great is your name.
Somebody that you're trying to reach out to is not listening, or it's a waste of your time to try to do that. Now, there is scripture that says if you take the word to someone and you know, they just turn it down, well, you're supposed to shake the feet off your dust and keep on stepping. Now, I believe that's the way that it's meant. Jimmy Valvano was a basketball coach for North Carolina State years ago. He contracted cancer, and they pronounced him terminally ill. And his last speech that I can remember him ever speaking publicly, the statement that stuck with thousands of people was, "Don't give up. Don't ever give up." That's kind of how I look at trying to win somebody over for the Lord. Hell could be a place that anybody should be. We weren't designed for that. When sin came into our life, that opened the gates of hell. And I thank God doing what he did to save us. Amen. Don't ever give up trying to save a particular person to the Lord. There are all kind of people that have these religions that really, they're not the way to the Lord. They're not the way to heaven. They're converting. So if we give up on one, well, we'll give up on another one, and we'll give up on another one. And maybe the next time you speak to that person, or maybe the next time that person sees you walking toward him, yeah, okay, let's do this. You don't ever know when someone will actually just say, yeah, thank you, Lord, for being there. World that we live in is going to get worse. It has to get worse before the Lord comes back. Simple as that. I know that everything that we see on TV, let's just think about what we don't see. We see all the political side of things. You know, they don't show you these places that are starving, actually. You know, they don't show you all that. There's a lot of souls to be saved out here. Amen? And we need to be about our Father's business. Just don't give up on somebody. I don't care who it is. Don't give up on them, because sometimes you just make it through to them. It'd be worth it. At least if something was happening, you'll know. You know, every time I saw this person, I tried to convince him or her that the Lord is real. And you'll know you've done your best. Amen.
Moved down here 3 years ago after JP was born. Stopped drinking, doing stuff he was doing when he moved in with my stepmom. They both started going to church about a year ago, I guess. I didn't fully comprehend how much he had changed until last weekend. We went to the Driven and Forgiven concert on Saturday. It was so eye-opening to see, after so many years, I had so much resentment towards my father, which you know, because I've talked to you about it before. And one thing that always stuck with me years ago when we were in youth class is don't give up on it. And you're going to have to, that I'm going to have to forgive him and forgive myself for having that resentment towards him. And this stuck with me, and I'm sure that was, I was like 13 when they had that conversation. And I'm 23 now. That was a long time ago. I seen him on Saturday, and I had forgiven him a while back, and I never told him. After Saturday, I got prayed for there at the concert and everything. And I looked at him and I said, I have to say this because I have to let you know. I do forgive you, and I have so much resentment against you. I don't anymore. And I'm so sorry for that. And he looked at me and he said, I know, baby girl, I can tell. Our relationship has been so much better just since last Saturday. I'm glad I have two dads and I have two moms. And I wouldn't trade either one, any of them, for the world. And I'm so glad that I have one.
That's a good thing. Amen. That's what it's all about. It's forgiving. That's right. Hallelujah. Grounded in the Word of God. Amen. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh my soul. Worship His holy name. Worship you.
Oh,
awesome presence of God in the house. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. I'm on, I think. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to be taking our scripture this morning from Proverbs chapter 3. And we're going to be about trusting the Lord today. Amen. Amen. Trust in the Lord. Very familiar passage of scripture. And the word tells us in Proverbs chapter 3, trust the Lord with all your heart and lean not in your own understanding. Lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. Father, thank you for your word today. Thank you for the anointing that is upon your word, Lord. That we hear and we receive your word, Father. That we may become doers of your word and not just hearers only. So what does Solomon have to say to us in this passage of scripture? Trust the Lord with all your heart. The word trust there means to lie helpless, face down. And it's actually a picture of a servant who is waiting for his master's command so that he can respond in full obedience. In other words, the focus of trust is submission. So Solomon has said to us, submit your heart in full obedience to God. Trust God with your whole heart. And the word submit comes from the word submarine. So when you begin to think about a submarine, in order for a submarine to operated at its full capacity, it goes underneath the water because that's what it was created for. That's how it operates at its full capacity because that is what it was designed to do. And it's the same thing with us as children of God. We were designed and created to trust the one that created us. And when we choose to come under that obedience and that submission and that trust, amen, we'll be able to fully function as a child of God because we are trusting in the one that created us, knowing that he is able to take care of us in any situation. Now Solomon goes on to tell us, lean not on your own understanding. You know, our own understanding is limited. Amen. Amen. Our own understanding of things and situation is limited to our natural mind. So, and our wisdom or understanding cannot support the weight of our lives and the things that we go through. Amen? So, or the challenges or decisions that we have to make living in everyday life. And God's wisdom, on the other hand, is like a firm tree that you can lean on. Because when you think about leaning, you think about something that props you up. So therefore, when we go through things in life, we can lean on God because he will prop us up and he will withhold us. And I shared something that I seen just recently. I was praying about a situation and thinking about something, and I had a vision in my spirit of God leaning toward me. And then when he did, I leaned into him. And then when I leaned into him, I felt him just surrounding me. Come on, somebody. So when we go through things in our lives, if we learn to trust and come under submission to God, he leans toward us in times of trouble and things in our lives. And when we do, we could just become wrapped up in him, and he protects us and shields us until we get through that. Amen. So he was just saying to me at that time, you know, daughter Shirley, just lean into me. I've got this. I've got you covered. Amen. So in all your ways, the word tells us, Solomon goes on to tell us, in all of your ways, not the ways that we choose, but it says in all of your ways, acknowledge him. Acknowledge means to recognize. God wants us to just recognize him in all of our ways. acknowledge him. So he's not telling us just to give him an hour on Sunday morning or a few minutes on Wednesday night. Amen. Or a few minutes over a meal to say thanks. Acknowledgement is an act of recognizing God's full lordship over our lives. Saying, God, you're God and I'm not. I recognize your sovereignty over my entire life. Not just at the time of crisis. Not at the times we get that phone call in the middle of the night. Not at the times that we suddenly have to make a decision. Because if we're allowing God to be lordship over our entire life, it is at those times we can lean into him as he leans into us. He goes on to say that he will make your path straight. How many know that life is a path to walk? Amen. So our temptation and our tendency is to pick the kind of path that we want to walk and then allow God, our expectation allows, you know, and our expectation was, okay, now go, I'm going to walk this path and you come along with me. It's about like allowing God to be our co-pilot and not our pilot. Amen. Because you will crash and burn sooner or later when you try to choose your own path or be co-pilot of your life. So just move over and let God take the seat. The ride may get bumpy, but he sure is a safe landing. Amen. So that's how God works. Rather than picking a path and asking God to bless it, he has already a chosen path for your life. And sometimes it may not be the path that you've chosen. It may not be the path that you thought of. Amen. But if it's the path that God chooses, then he commands the blessing on that. And he will take care of you. He blesses his path, and then he invites us to come along and walk it out with him. The word path means direction. So when we choose to acknowledge God in all of our ways, he gives and will give us direction for our lives. So how many wants their path to be directed by God? Amen. Amen. So do not be wise in your own eyes, he goes on to tell us. And when I read that, immediately I thought of that. Do not be wise in your own eyes. I immediately thought, Shirley, don't think you're a know-it-all. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord, but trust in the one that does know it all. Amen. He sees sometimes, I said one time, you know, it seems like that God has walked our life down from the beginning, from the end to the beginning, from the beginning to the end. Then he calls us to walk out the middle and he doesn't give us a clue. Whatever day life is, but that's part of trusting God. There's that big middle in there. We know the beginning and we know the ending. You know the ending's going to happen, but the middle part is what he calls us to walk out and to trust him and to acknowledge him in all of our ways. And then he goes on to say, fear the Lord and shun evil. So Solomon concludes his scripture by saying, fear the Lord and shun evil. You know, we think of the word fear, we think of fright. You know, but that's not the fear that, when we fear God, that's not the kind of fear that it's talking about. That kind of fear is to reverence God, to pay him reverence, to recognize him as Lord of all things. So fear doesn't imply being scared. And to shun evil means to abstain from the very appearance of evil. Everything that brings a wedge between us and God. Proverbs 16:6 says, provides a direct link between fear and God and shunning evil. When we reverence God and show him reverence, we will want to shun evil. We will not want to be a partaker of that which is evil. Amen. Abstain from the very appearance of evil. And one of the examples that I want to bring out today is somebody that trusted God was Job. Job had a very bad day in his life. And you know, I had rather have a bad day with God than have a bad day without God. Amen. Amen. So Job was a wealthy man, as you know the story. And it said he lost everything. Everything. Sheep, children, health, and possessions. Everything. Even though he was faithful to God. Even though Job was faithful, he lost everything. Job answered, and he might have said, what does it mean to trust God when I have lost everything? I have been faithful, but yet I have lost everything. And when he lost everything, like us sometimes, we immediately began to want to start question why. And I found out in my experience with God, when I began to question why, that opens the door to confusion. And I just began to say, God, you're God, I'm not. And I choose to trust you and to acknowledge you in this situation, knowing that when it's all over, I'm going to come out better and not bitter. Amen. So Job began to question God. And he said, why did I not perish at birth? In other words, why on earth was I even born? And I'm having to go through all this. Why didn't I just die? Now, that's a bad day when you get to the point of saying that. Amen. That's a no good day. Yet, despite everything that happened to Job, what was said of him in the very first book of the Bible remained true to the end. And through the end of that book, at the end of Job's life. Because in the land of Uz, there lived a man whose name was Job. This man was blameless, upright. He feared God. He reverenced God. And he shunned evil. Amen. So Job came to a realization that knowing God is better than having all the answers to all of our questions. Why? Because a part of us being human, sometimes we'll ask why. But we trust God. And in knowing that God is there to see us through every situation. And then at the end, because Job trusted God, he feared God, he reverenced God, he shunned from evil, and he continued to be faithful, he says God restored Job and made him twice as prosperous as he was before. Amen. So what about Peter at a time in his life when he was called to trust God? It says in Matthew 14, you know the story, Jesus directed the disciples. This is the path that they were getting ready to take. He directed the disciples to get into the boat, go ahead of him to the other side of the sea, which was Galilee, and he sent the crowds away. So since God knows the beginning and the end of a thing, and the end of the beginning of a thing, he also knows what will transpire in the middle, because nothing has taken God by surprise. Things in life takes us by surprise. Amen. But there is nothing. And once you get a revelation of that and get into your heart, this may have happened. I may have got that phone call. My kids are acting crazy. Even the dog. You've got to understand that God knows about it. So if God already knows about it, he's already got the plan to bring you through. And what does he call us to do? Trust God in all of your ways and recognize him as God. And we don't know the bigger picture. But he does. So, and the scripture goes on to tell us in Matthew, but the boat by this time was already a long distance from land. Okay? They were out in the middle of that. You know what that's like, don't you, Ricardo? Tossed and battered by the waves, for the wind was against them. And when you go through situations and stuff, it seems like everything's against you at that moment. Amen? And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus came to them walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It's a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately he spoke to them and said, "Take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid." So sometimes we're in the middle of a crisis. God sends us help. And sometimes we shun it because we don't think it's the right kind of help. Have you ever been there? So when they saw him, they were thinking, "This ain't the help I need. That's a ghost coming to me on the water." So when you're going through a situation, God can give you a sign, a billboard, or something on a billboard that encourages you. He can speak through people, or you just overhear a conversation with somebody. Amen? That will give you the encouragement to keep on keeping on. So even though the events of life takes us by surprise, always remember, it's not taking God by surprise. Amen? So Peter replied to him, "Lord, if it's really you," have you ever told God that? Yeah. "Make dew on the grass in the morning, God, if it's really you." Throw out that fleece, hallelujah. Peter replied to him, "Lord, if it's really you, you command me to come to you on the water." Sometimes God will answer. And it may not be the way you want him to answer. Amen? So he said, "Come." Ooh. So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the effects of the wind, the Amplified Bible says, when he saw the effects of that which was around him, that's when he began to lose focus of the one he had eyes on, which was Jesus. And that's the same thing it is when we go through things in our lives that come up unexpectedly. Jesus said, "If you'll come to me, as I lean into you, you lean into me. Don't take your eyes off of me.
get your eyes off of the situation and off of that report and off of that storm and keep on walking with me and keep on trusting, and I'll not let you fail and I'll not let you sink. It's only when we take our eyes off of Jesus and we are affected at that point. It says, but when he saw the effects of the wind, he was frightened and began to sink. And he cried out, but if you're here and you have lost concentration and you have took your eyes off of Jesus, I got good news. Amen. I got good news. Lord, save me. And that's all you have to do. As Lord, I got off course. I've not acknowledged you. I have not trusted you in this situation. Forgive me, and then just keep on going. You don't have to spend hours at the altar. You don't have to go through a long fast. Amen? All you got to do is trust and believe. Trust and obey, for there's no other way. To be happy, to be secure, to be whole in Jesus. Just trust and obey. Immediately, he says, when Peter cried out, immediately, Jesus extended his hand and caught him, saying, you of little faith, why did you doubt? Or why did you not trust me? If I told you to come to me, it didn't matter how much the wind was blowing, how high the waves were. If I told you to come to me, you could have come to me without sinking. And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. That's like leaning into Jesus when he's leaning into you and he's got you covered. Amen. Then those in the boat worshiped him with awe-inspired reverence, saying, truly you are the Son of God. And you know, the scriptures are full of examples of people that trusted God at the time of crisis. And we know the word was given to us as an example. Amen. What about Noah? God said, Noah, this is what I want you to do. And it doesn't, you know, when we're trusting God, it doesn't necessarily mean we're in a crisis or we've got that bad report. It may be something that God has called us to do and asking us to do, or we're willing to step out of the boat and say, this is what I know God's called me to do, even if I know nobody else is understanding. This is what I know God has called me to do. Well, God called Noah to build a big boat. And it says, in the middle of dry land where there wasn't a cloud in the sky. Despite all the ridicule of the neighbors and everybody around him, Noah obeyed just because God said so. So he put his trust in God, knowing that because God said so. So somebody asks you, why do you keep believing for healing? Because God says I'm healed. Why are you going out on the limb like that? Because God told me to. That's all you have to respond. It's just because God said so. Just because God said so. Hallelujah. So Abraham, what if you were 80 years old and God said, you need to pack up. I need you to move you out of here. Abraham packing up everything and leaving his home land when he was 80 years old, everything that he had become familiar with, God said, Abraham, I need you to pack up. I need you to go to this place that I'm showing you. And thank God he did. Amen. Because why? God told him to. Simply because God told him to. That's trust, church. That is trust. Don't let nobody talk you out of your dream. Don't let nobody talk you out of your vision. Don't let nobody talk you out of what you know God has told you. Amen. And if they have any questions, all you've got to do is just say, because God told me so. Because God told me so. I don't know how. I don't know when. It's just because God told me so. Amen. So in 2 Chronicles, we read about a man named Jehoshaphat. Now some people came to him and told him the Ammonites and the Moabites and, you know, all them tithes people. They get you in trouble. Amen. They all kind of want to kill you and destroy you. Jehoshaphat called. He said, these people are coming to wage war against you. Now sometimes you know when a storm is coming, because you just feel it brewing around you sometimes. Sometimes you don't know when it's coming. Sometimes you get up in the morning, la, 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 by the end of the day, you're pulling your hair out. Amen? So sometimes you don't know the storm's coming. That's why you need to get full of the Word while the sun's shining. Because a rainy day is coming. Amen? The clouds will roll in. That's part of life. So you need to be full of the Word before the thunder and lightning starts. And you do that by continually trusting in God in the good times and the bad times. God is still God. So anyway, Jehoshaphat got this word that all the tithes were coming against him. So he called everyone to prayer. And you know what he said? He says, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. Amen. There are situations and things in our life, church, that it's okay to go before God and say, God, I don't know what to do. But your word said, if I trust you, if I acknowledge and recognize you, and if I lean in you, that you're going to make me understand this all this sometime, somehow, some way. Amen. So they had a warning. The storm was coming, though. But they didn't know what to do. But continue to keep your eyes on Jesus, no matter what it is. No matter what it is. You know, they play the song, if you ever watch Cops on TV, they play this song, what are you going to do when they come for you? Amen. Sometimes in life, we can say, what are they going to do? What are you going to do when they come for you? What are you going to do when the situations of life come for you and you don't know what to do? You're going to stand on the Word. You're going to go back to Proverbs and you're going to say, Lord, I trust in you with all my heart. Lord, I don't lean on my own understanding. I refuse to ask why. And I will acknowledge you in this situation and recognize you as God. And you said that if I did that, you would direct my path. So when we begin to trust God and lean not on our understanding, then we're called to act upon that. And when we are called to act upon that, we don't lean on our understanding. We acknowledge and recognize God in all of our ways. And you said that if I did that, that you would direct my paths. And it says, don't be wise in your own eyes. Amen. I don't know it all, but I do know the one that knows it all. Amen. Stand to your feet this morning. Hallelujah. If you've got pain in your body, I just want to raise your hands. I was sitting over there in one of the songs, and I began to hear the Lord say, pray for those that have any type of blood disease today. I specifically heard the word leukemia. So if you're here listening by internet or you know someone that's battling a blood disease today, I want you to stand in agreement with the word of God that says, by his stripes you are healed. And if you have pain in your body today, you will leave this place pain-free in Jesus' name. Amen. Father God, we stand on the authority of your word that says that we have the authority to speak to sickness and disease, and every infirmity has to go in the name of Jesus. I come against every blood disease, leukemia, any type of blood disease, right now in the name of Jesus, whatever the cost may be, I command it to leave these people's bodies in the name of Jesus. I speak to joints to be strong and to be made whole in the name of Jesus. I speak to heart disease that your heart is fixed in Jesus' name for the palpitations. I command your heart to come into perfect rhythm in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I come against every foul spirit that is speaking to your mind in the name of Jesus. Be delivered from that and set free by the authority of the Word of God. God has made us a free people. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father God. In Jesus' name. And I break the spirit of poverty over your life. Hallelujah. You're not doomed or destined to walk in defeat or to walk in poverty in the name of Jesus. We serve a God that owns all things in Jesus' name. And I called you prosperous and favored by God. I call you the head and not the tail in Jesus' name. I speak to spines, nodules on the spine in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Bone spurs, be dried up in Jesus' name. Be made whole. Oh, foot problems in Jesus' name. Be healed. Hallelujah. Some say, you know, I don't know what's causing this. It doesn't matter. You know the healer. Hallelujah. You know the healer that says, by his stripes you are healed. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Father God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Jesus. And I speak to the woman that says, I will never be able to conceive. God says to quit saying that you have defeated your purpose of praying. You will conceive and you will bear children. I speak to your body to be fertile in the name of Jesus and to be healed. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Father God. Thank you, Lord. And the church said amen.
Amen,
amen and amen. God is good and what? All the time, God is good. Go this week and make somebody's day by telling them about the love of Jesus. Amen.